and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I'd like to welcome all of you. Our first speaker is going to be Mr. Charles.
Here, you know, they caught you on the 720. Let me just tell them.
What to the
I'm sending an email. Our speakers from Mr. Charles Ramsey, president of the Wisconsin Unified School District, Laura Gordon, architect, and Bill Sounding program director, speaking on a new design of the dam behind me and the staff of the other school buildings. We're going to have a question. The questions are definitely going to be limited to 3 minutes for speakers, and we're going to have to enforce that because we have a very full agenda tonight. We also have with us the Contra Costa Community Development Department speaking on the San Pablo Dam Road traffic projections with and without the couplet. And again, we'll have questions for the next 3 minutes. We'll have a monthly report on Janet Chung, Chief Staff for Supervisor John Joya, and we had sent out emails and requested that Lieutenant Donnie Gordon, Bay Sheriff's Department, give us a monthly report in writing this time, and also Michelle Blackwell from East Bay Municipal Utility District, because we are really pushed for time. So with that, I'm going to introduce again Mr. Ramsey, and you're on.
Thank you very much. I want to tell everybody how excited I am to be here tonight. This is a very positive time to be here. And I see Bill back there, he's been working with us. Good, Mr. Kilby, good to see you. Bob Spencer's here, who's part of the original bond oversight program. Gene here, just glad to see everybody here. And I wanted to say that we are here tonight just to let you know where we are. Hope, you know, we're just showing you where we are with the school designs for DeAnza. We finished Sheldon. We're almost done with Marie Murphy. Valley View is coming up next summer. We just kept it in phase two, so I held on to Valley View. So in 07, we're going to start with Valley View as well. And now we're here just to introduce to you the people that we've been working with who are doing DeAnza. So, you know, we've been to May Valley. Eleanor, you remember we went there? We've been to DeAnza a couple times. And now we wanted to come here because I thought it was important that you know exactly what's going on. DeAnza is going to be a $105 million project. But on top of that, we're also looking, and we want to hear some comments tonight, if you want a community swim center. We want to at least have the conversation. We want to leave it into the Elsa Brandy community hand because we're hearing mixed messages. Some want it, some don't. Someone indoor, someone outdoor. We're just getting feedback. We want feedback because we're conceptually drawing it. We've got an indoor pool, $22 million, an outdoor pool that runs about $7.5 million, dive tank, the whole thing we have for the school. So we're going to make sure that we give you a presentation tonight. So at least you're informed. We want transparency here in this district. Too often, residents have complained that they don't know what's going on with the school district. So, you know, this is my fifth time out here in the last 4 months. Not only that, we also went to the Rotary Club and made a presentation to them as well. So we're making sure we're letting you know everything that's going on. Construction is supposed to start in June of 07. They'll be done with the design and everything for it. Working on the safety plan as well. We just contracted with the Contra Costa Sheriff's Department to bring on full-time law enforcement, professional trained staff, not just security, but real law enforcement to keep those kids off the streets. We're sick and tired of seeing kids up and down Valley View. We're tired of it. Morningside. We need to get control of the situation. We made the statement last week. We put $2.7 million in an additional fund to secure the campuses, because we know kids learn when they're in school. We're not here to punish kids, but we're here to make sure they know they have supervision. We're not saying they're bad kids, but we want them to have proper supervision. So without further ado, I want to introduce our Chief Engineering Officer. Can you come up here, Bill Savage? We have Wally Gordon, the lead architect from Dean Lewis McKinley. He's coming up to Terry Miller, the design consultant. Terry, come on up from the Downtown Associates. These are your lead team. These are the individuals that, if you have comments or questions, these individuals. Dean Lewis McKinley is noted throughout the state for their award-winning design architects through CAS, the Coalition of Adequate School Housing. They did a lot of work down in Newark for the Newark Unified School District. Done a lot of work over in Cupertino area. So when they were ranked from our team, they were ranked the number one architectural firm. And we knew DeAnza was the number one jewel we really needed to have. And so we wanted to make sure we gave you the best. And so we're really confident with the work they're doing. And Bill can attest to they've been really proactive in outreaching to neighbors, constituents, as well as working with the teachers and staff. You got Jewel here. I want to thank everybody for their work on Measure J, because without passing Measure J, it wouldn't happen. But the fact that Measure J passed, and the El Sobrante Valley, most people don't know, it wasn't like Pomona, it passed here in the valley. It passed in the El Sobrante Valley. So you should all be proud of that. You guys got over the threshold, you made the difference. Like I said, I call it the 979 Club. That's how much we won by, 979. So anyway, I'm going to turn it over to the team so that they can move forward and let them go forward.
Okay. Thanks, Charles. I'm going to just start out real quickly. I'm Bill Savage. I'm the engineering officer with the district, and I recognize a lot of people here. I'm going to go ahead and pass around, just so you have it, a copy of our program schedule for Measure J and our other schools, and I'll just keep one up here to demonstrate with. And also a copy of the budgets, including the revenue and expenditure projections for the district. He's going to pass it out. DeAnza High School, if you look on the front page of the schedule when it comes to you, DeAnza High School is the first secondary school to be constructed under the Measure J program. We're currently in the design phase, and we anticipate, let me just wait until everybody gets a copy so we can follow. Very close, huh? All right. Pretty close. I brought 20 up there. The construction bar is shown here right below the word secondary on the left side. The first project is DeAnza, and you can see that it's we're in the design phase now. We anticipate starting construction in 2007, and when Wally does his presentation of the phasing plan, you'll see what that means and the beginning of construction and how we're anticipating phasing the work. And we anticipate the construction will go out into 2009, almost to 2010, by the time we construct the school and do all the phases of the work that are required to do that. If you look on the second page, this is the actual proposed budget worksheet, the expenditure worksheet for the Measure J project. Each of the schools has a proposed budget, and the top project, as you can see on this, is DeAnza High School. You can see all of the other high schools, what's proposed for those, Pinole Valley, Kennedy High, and the small project in Richmond. And then the 13 elementary schools are shown down below. And we also have, as a part of what we do in the district and what the board has approved us to do, you can see, for example, on the line below the project list, we have furniture and equipment, network technology. So we not only build new schools, we want to equip them with the newest furniture and the newest technology so that our students have real appropriate learning environments as we go forward in the 21st century. The last sheet that you'll see on here is our proposed revenue for the entire program, and the Measure J bond at $400 million is obviously the largest chunk, but we do receive substantial funding under the state school building program, and each of the state's share of income is listed down below the line for our eligibility and what we anticipate we'll receive under the state school building program for state school bonds. And so that makes up an entire program of over $470 million when we leverage all the funds that are available to us. So I'm going to go ahead and let the architects, unless there's a specific question about budgets or schedule, but I can ask the questions as we go through this process also. And maybe I'll turn it over to Wally Gordon to give you an idea of the sequencing and the proposed design, very preliminary master plan designs for the Anza campus.
Hi, once again, my name is Wally Gordon. With me is Ali Sandys in our office. There's a couple things I'm going to try to weave in and out. Hopefully I'll do it well. As Charles and Bill had mentioned, we've actually had a couple of community meetings. And I'm going to try to weave in how we've addressed some of the comments and concerns that were in some of those prior meetings, as well as trying to get you in. I know some of you have only seen this for the first time, so I'm trying to address those while giving you the first brush look at it. Obviously, we've got here right now the existing campus. Just as a background, it was built in 1955, so it's a little over 50 years old. John Carl Warnke was the architect, a little sideshow. He dated Jackie O. Right after that issue, that's his claim to fame, as well as being an architect. So, but the long and short of it is, one of the things we tried to do as a goal was to try to keep the existing campus operational. El Cerrito actually took their campus down and put in a temporary facility. We kind of discussed whether or not that should be appropriate. The problem with that is twofold. One is we got some feedback from the campus. They'd rather not go through that now that El Cerrito's gone through that, as well as it's going to add another $10 million to the cost of actually doing the project as an overall. So one of the things we've really tried to drive in all of this is to try to avoid having to go that route. So with that in mind, I'm going to sequence through a couple of schemes with you here as far as how we're going to try to sequence this. One of the first phases, the first phase, I should say, is actually something we're going to start next spring, and there's a couple of things that's occurring here. One is if you take a look at the site from the southern boundary here to the northern boundary here where the creek is, essentially the center of the site is really where the gym is. So the one thing that we're going to have to try to get through is the gymnasium locker complex actually being removed as part of the first site, or first phase. So with that in mind, one of the things we're doing is actually renovating the track and field. And
this is a hard room. Okay, where's up here? Can you guys still see it? Okay, sorry. Just trying to get better.
So we're actually putting in a new synthetic field. It's much like Mill Valley High School has now. We're going to go that route with that. It's a new synthetic turf and track. One of the comments from the initial committee meeting or the community meeting was renovating the bleachers. We've added that now into the scope.
Oh, really?
Yes. Sounds shocking. And the other thing we're planning right now is the new team rooms, some locker shower facilities here, and new concession stand, new storage and field house and maintenance up in this zone here. And again, that's in preparation for the idea that this building, the locker, the gymnasium is going to have to go away in the first phase, so we at least have some physical and facilities on the site. So that's essentially the first phase to get that in. Kind of somewhat in tandem with that is the second phase, and here they can see this better, there you go. Which is basically taking that facility, as I mentioned, out, and that gives us a path to work off of here. And one of the things we're grappling with, and we keep going through with the staff, is in essence we're going to have two campuses on the same site simultaneously. That's the only way we can do it. So if you can imagine, this is actually an oversized site. It's 52 acres, but it really isn't when you think you've got two campuses literally going on the site at the same time. So once we get this in place, we're taking these out. And the other thing we're doing is we have to power up the temporary, the existing facilities with temporary boiler power, because right now all the utilities come right through the middle of the site feed in that direction. So we're basically putting in all new facility feeds around the site and temporary facilities to power up the existing facilities, and we'll have this in place for that phase. The next phase is basically, you know, taking that.
Can you tell what time frame approximately, if you know?
Yeah, this phase is occurring next spring, and this would follow the following spring. And that's, before I get into this, let me just kind of explain the general concept. Unlike some of the issues with the existing campus, right there, the center. One of the ways we just kind of lay this out, just in general plan, this is Valley View along here, just orient you. This is the existing football field that we're renovating. One of the things we decided to do in the plan is basically to kind of segregate what we call public and private side of the campus. The public side being the things that you typically come to as community members and then the public in general. The performing arts theater, the administration, the gymnasium, they have a little arts place here. We also have the general physical athletic facilities here. We obviously already have some existing facilities here at the meeting. But then we're actually splitting that from what we call the private side, which is essentially the classroom, the academic side. Unlike the existing campus where everything kind of splays off of the street, you know, so all the academic, you know, facilities are right on the street. And there's the other thing we decided is that, you know, in this scheme, it's really not obvious where the administration is, where you go with the public members going to the school. And one of the things we thought was really important was to highlight a public entry because this is a very public building. It's essentially a civic building, even though it obviously has a very private side to it. And the other thing is the students need a place to gather. And right now, they gather in a courtyard that's really public. It's on the street side. So we decided that our, what we call the student commons, is on the private side, on the back side of the campus. And it works real well because then it feeds right into the athletic facilities and these other things. And we could put a cafeteria back there and just kind of make it more of an academic environment as opposed to kind of a public on the street environment, so to speak. Okay, so that's just a general concept of how we're laying the buildings out. So with that in mind, get right back to the plan. The translation of all those public side facilities, you know, again, we have an arts facility here, performing arts, administration, library, and whatnot, and the gymnasium here. That's the first phase, and that's why this is still occupied and running out. And it's shown before we had temporary power, temporary facilities here. So this is under construction here. A couple other things that came up in the community meeting, we have some neighbors down here that are really concerned, because we had indicated two-story buildings here. We've actually knocked that building down to a one-story building on the site. For purposes of just getting the square footage in that we need, we're still going to need to keep this as a two-story building that's like a football field away from the closest neighbor on that side. A couple other things that came up in the last meeting is we had essentially staff parking lined up around in here, and there was concerns about basically leaving parking open in here and new traffic through here. So essentially, we've kept the parking up front because the other thing that came up in the meeting is people wanted more parking clustered around the performing arts. So we've now clustered more parking up in the front around there. And I'll get to some of the other comments because it's actually more pertaining to the next phase, the next side. So that's essentially the core of the campus that gets built, you know, in that phase, which is essentially the third phase.
We have a question.
Sorry. Could you show us where the public is going to have access to drive through and drop kids off? Because
that's a good point.
We were very concerned whether there would be a drive through campus because there is a street that drives through across college, and there was a drive through and a shooting there at last year sometime. So.
Yeah, one of the things that we have to make contact with the public works is we're looking, we've done this at other schools that works really well, is having to pull out right off of the street. So there's just a pull out that parallels that. This first pull out would be the parent student drop off, and the second one would be buses, because you don't want the parents backing up and stacking the buses. So essentially we're going to be proposing two pull outs just off of the street up front. And again, that's a good point because in our initial scene that we had showed, I think I brought it over here, we'd actually had a full pull-in, and we just decided that this is probably going to be much more efficient. It leaves much more land for compressing and doing some of the things we need to do as far as trying to address some of the other concerns that came on board. So that's how we addressed that.
I have another question.
Yes.
You're going to do artificial turf on this new ball field?
Correct, the synthetic turf.
Has it been approved since the big one is now all the majors are getting away from artificial turf because there's so much damage to the people?
Yeah, this is different than what you're referring to, which is basically green concrete. Basically, they laid down concrete and then put carpet essentially over the top of it. Yeah, this is actually now a sand bed material. It still has a synthetic surface and it gives a lot.
It's called field turf.
Field turf.
was actually less injuries.
He used to be known by his own grass.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was on the floor of the kingdom once, and I couldn't believe people would actually play football on it. I mean, you're right, it's just that hard to calibrate itself. But yeah, it's all filtered, and it gives. And actually, just a comment, it's actually less, you're less injury prone on that because it's a predictable surface. Yeah, you'll get them.
You know what I would like to suggest is that we let them finish the presentation and then we open it up for questions. That way we can get through it and get the entire picture.
Okay. The next phase is taking down the existing campus, which, you know, this is just essentially highlighting that. And so once we have this occupied, you know, it'll probably be a little more than a summer to take this thing down and actually implement the last phase, which is we try to keep things that are quickly installed in buildings, gymnasiums, administration buildings. So essentially the line was right here, which is basically the line is where the existing administration building goes forth here. So this is essentially, you know, site work, more or less. We're putting the concept of the aquatic facility right here, because obviously those showers and lockers have to be directed out to there, and the community uses the substrate off of the street there. One of the comments we had in the community meeting last time was the field actually was up over here. We've taken that back because one of the comments was having parking very visible to the street side, so the parking we tried to make all visible from the street side. Softball field now is the back side. And the other comment, some of this is bouncing between the staff and the community meetings, but one of the comments was to make sure all the hardtop areas were clustered for PD, so no one was to cluster down there. And one of the things, I'll tell you what we're tinkering with a little bit, is the placement of the industrial arts building, the shop building. We're looking at drifting it back a little closer to the campus. So, kind of the broad concept. And again, I'll just kind of run through some of the comments that came up the last time. We talked about parking, supervision, adjacency to performing arts, classroom buildings, pull-out zones that you just asked for the buses, and the parent drop-off pickup. The other thing we're proposing, I didn't mention, was we're proposing, and we have to talk to the engineers about this to make sure we get the public right-of-way coordinated with it. Is possibly putting a signal right here at Morningside, because right now it seems like there's not a good place to come in and out of there. There's already a signal there, but, you know, with us possibly tapping in, we felt that's a good opportunity to maybe just go ahead and modify that intersection slightly and then have a nice four-way stop intersection there. Talk about the campus building height. Again, knocking this one down to a one-story facility there. So that'll mitigate some of the concerns over there. And then there's a couple other comments about weekend use and whatnot. And we're going to be renovating the existing concession stand. And that leaves us an opportunity with possibly having some restrooms available on the weekends and whatnot. Some of the neighbors are concerned that there aren't restrooms available on the weekends. So.
Okay, we'll open it up for questions.
Yes. I have a couple of questions. On Valley View, the plane comes out in the room.
Yeah, I'm sure the speeds are.
And then the other question I had,
what do you expect the primary
haul route
to be?
Primary
haul
route?
For construction of the demo and
then
bringing it in.
Oh, as far as the,
Appian, through Appian to Valley View?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought you were not on the site.
No. I'm more worried about your construction and my construction and making sure we... Eric has a question.
There's a county R9 area Parks and Rec Advisory Committee that Bill has come to a number of times, and there's been discussion about the land that's adjoining, that's owned by the county. And have been beginning talks about the possible future park and how we might be able to make sure we're working with you as you're moving forward with construction. And and design. So I don't know how we can make sure that continues in terms of access and if there were possibilities of exchanging land if that didn't work or...
Well, I don't think we're really going to do anything to the access. I mean, we'll still have at the back corner curve there, we'll still have the access that goes up into that area available. We have some temporary staging at that area right now of modular buildings, but that's going to be removed. It's not a permanent location for anything, but we're open to work with the R9 committee for any kind of...
Who's on the
R9? There's a couple of people here.
Yeah,
can
we get your
card?
So where's the swimming pool?
The blue.
Yeah, it's essentially the zone right here. The final program is, that's not all pool.
It's set aside an area on the site.
Oh, it goes to school.
We want one question at a time here. Do you envision this pool being open year-round to the public, or is it just a school facility? What is the deal with the school?
Yeah, I mean, normally we would, if we build a facility like this, it would be a community-based pool. We could run, what we've proposed in conceptualizing it is that there would be community shower locker facilities independently accessible by someone coming in from the outside to be able to use the pool to shower, to change without having to go into a student locker room, which obviously we don't want. I did a facility like this in my last district with the city of Sunnyvale. It was a joint facility. We built a separate locker facility for the community, separate entrance on Fremont High School in Sunnyvale. And it was very, very successful. And they ran master swim programs, community swim programs, community learn to swim programs in the summer. And the district used it for water polo and swimming programs. And then they also did PE learn to swim in the shallow end for the PE programs.
Yes, Karen.
So if there is a swimming pool there, who would actually operate it for the community portion of it?
Well, typically what districts do when they do this is we try and find a partner. That would be you. Or whatever other entity, a city, a community group. Because we're not in the business of running community pools. This is in the very early planning stages, and we're looking for interest in a swim center. We're also looking for an entity that could enter into an agreement with us to help manage it and operate it to create, and typically look for a recreational, an entity or an agency that has a recreational component.
And a follow-up question.
Yeah.
And would there be some kind of an agreement made between the community, for example, and the school district, where the school district wouldn't be using it all the time on weekends for practice, so that it leaves very little time for the community?
One of the most intricate parts of that is coming up with a schedule of use, and we were able to manage it at the last district that I was at, and we never had a problem with any, and we always had procedures for special event comes up, a notification procedure, or you can bump someone on this day with this much notice, and it worked it out. And then you can come up with a decent schedule that meets everybody's needs.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
kind of
doing the landscape.
We work with Jack Griffin Associates in Berkeley. Okay. You're talking about landscape design.
I'm the landscape design of the ground. Yeah, because it's a good opportunity for putting in some sort of educational program or plan. So I want to see how to say all that at the high school about that.
No,
it hasn't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
you want to work with this one up?
Sure. I'm concerned about the creek. You're moving a great many buildings close to the creek, but now you don't have buildings. So I have a couple of questions. Are you required to meet the NPDES and know that runoff, no increase in runoff?
Yes.
And how are you planning on cleaning up the current outfalls into the creek or removing trash along the property? Perhaps removing the non-native vegetation
and
creating an opportunity for native
vegetation. Well, we have another project that's very similar to this along St. Creek, no, it's not St. Creek, Helms Middle School. At Helms, as you know,
We have a detention basin bioswale system that cleans all the runoff and outfall that goes into the creek. And it's a very extensive catch basin, downspout collection system that then takes all of the runoff into a detention pond and then feeds some of the areas where it's not easy to get it to there into bioswale areas where it percolates through the soil. I think we're going to be able to handle this, the runoff, any of the outfall from the storm drainage system in a similar fashion at this site, I would hope. We haven't really talked about any kind of a creek restoration project, but we're open to working with a community group to try and do something like that. We know there's concerns. I mean, from the district side, we have concerns about students using the creek for recreational activities. So we don't want to encourage it. We want to, I mean, it's not that we don't want the creek to be an educational thing. We do, but it's very hard to supervise, as you know. And so we try and strike a balance between keeping kids out and yet having the greenery there and having that available is somehow as a resource. It's really tough for us, though.
Well, that side is okay, too. It's a little easier because the houses on the far side can do a little supervision. But the creek has been used for educational purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We've worked with the environmental club to do water quality testing for many years. Unfortunately, that teacher retired from the club this year.
No, I agree, actually.
I'm just going to say what this green is near the baseball field, and where are the tennis courts? And will those be
the tennis courts.
Okay.
Yeah, the green is in front of this, or?
Yeah.
That's actually softball field.
It's multi-use field and softball.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's actually more fielding areas, more usable.
Well, we're actually transposing. There is a field here.
Okay.
And we're actually transposing that up to here now.
And so is this just a soccer? What is this?
This is soccer. That's going to stay soccer. Just another point to the issue of the bioswale. That's actually why we've got some greenery here. That would be part of our, we've got to leave some green space for the detention for essential pond.
Are these gentlemen back there?
Does access still come from the back gate? Students still be able to access the campus? From here on. Back gate on Strand Arena.
Pedestrian access, yes.
Okay.
Not vehicle.
And is there going to be any work done to the existing soccer field?
Yes.
Right here?
It'll be rehab for sure.
Ma'am? Two quick questions. First quick one is, it's all in the city of Richmond, right? This entire
city? Yeah.
Are you also going to put a new road in? Is that what I'm seeing where it's the utilities? Will there be a new road coming in?
Yeah, that's a good point. We actually have to have an emergency and service road around here. So yeah, these facilities, the fire marshal requires all of that access around back through here.
Will it be a gated road or will it
be? Oh yeah, one of the things, this came out of the community meeting the last one we had, and that's why we pushed everything out. We had parking along both sides at one time. We pushed all that, and that's why you see a dry circle here, because we're gating it here right now, so all the parking is there, and that would just be a temporary access gate here. The other thing is that would be a gate right there. So really all the parking is kind of limited to there.
But the public can come in at any time and go around that circle, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I think this gentleman had a question.
Oh,
no. Okay. Mr. Arvey, did you have a question?
You talked about parking. Had anybody counted the spaces?
Yes, we're about balanced now. Looks like.
Okay, that two? One for the faculty and one for staff?
No. Right now, we're
on top of it, we got four.
No. There's actually a lot more parking on the existing site than you realize. It's just difficult from along the back through here. And what we've done is we've pushed all that out front. And so if you go back there, and there's really a lot of empty parking back there.
So how many spaces are you going to have for the students?
Students right now, exactly, is about 120. Yeah. And again, some of that's potentially going to be used on the weekends and after hours because you've also got a gym here and obviously the performing arts.
Is that adequate?
Jim, you had a question.
Can I have a follow-up?
Adequate because there's not a parking now. The city's got to fix the parking.
No, I said the issue is, I think, the positioning of the parking. There's a lot of empty parking here pretty much throughout the day and on the back side.
Yeah. What we're saying during school days, you
mean? Yes.
Correct.
Well, also, during school days, if you drive by the front of the school, there's parking all over the place, off the school, and that is a mess. And so I would hope that you'd have more parking so that.
So one of the things, just in response to that, one of the next steps that we're going to be taking now that we have a conceptual design that we think we're heading towards is we are going to engage a traffic engineer for a study of both the parking, drop-off, and traffic patterns along the street so that we can work with the city and justify the warrants related to the light and all of the issues related to vehicular access and parking on the site. So we'll be able to come back to you with a little more certainty about numbers of spaces and that sort of stuff.
Just real quick, to answer, I think you were talking about people that park on the mud park right here?
Well, on
the
street.
Yeah, I was going to say, we counted this as part of the parking that needed to be accommodated.
Not a question, but a comment. I just want you to know that there is a large support in the community for that swimming pool. We were promised one 20 years ago.
50 years ago.
Then we were promised another one, and the money was diverted. I know you've heard some people talk against it at our meeting, but that was because I went door to door at the back of the school, so that they would be sure that they would know what was going on. And so I really was unhappy with you asking a question at that meeting. Well, how many people here are in favor of the school? When I knew that those people were not, but now it is up front, and I think, you know, we really should have that pool, and you're going to have a lot of people angry if we lose it.
I think this gentleman had a question back here.
I believe that there's going to be a questionnaire mailed out to everybody in the area about the pool to see if they're in support or not in support. And you're going to be asked a couple of questions. Indoor pool, outdoor pool, yes or no on both of them. Is that
okay? We're planning to do a survey of each engaged community interest.
I did tell them that you had a question.
I think I was at the meeting Eleanor was talking about, and I do respect Eleanor, and I know that she's been pushing for this for a long time, but I must disagree with her in terms of all the valid wants before I've grown up here my whole life, and I think you're going to find that it's like 50-50. That does not have 50% doesn't want the full 50% wants it. And the main reason that they have that don't want it is they don't want to pay money for the pool. That's the bottom line. Because I don't believe it's going to be a money-making venture problem here. I mean,
it's not a money maker, though.
We're not saying. Oh, no, I know that.
My name is question.
Yeah, and I'm not, I guess I'm not sure. It's not like we're at a very conceptual stage right now. I'm curious about, like, the performing arts building. We're talking about swimming pool and what we'll have, but, like, the performing arts building in this community, we don't really have anything like that at all. And so, again, like, the kind of amenities that would be available in that, you have thoughts about that yet, or is that
a full theater, 400 to 500 seat theater. I mean, the minimum requirement for our theaters is we need to be able to seat at least a class, sophomore class, freshman class. But we want to understand what the type, you know, what the interest is here. But a full theater with a performance capabilities for band, chorus, dance, and drama. You know, concession stands, ticket booth. The whole deal, fly space, and then typically the performing arts components are around that, the drama classroom, the band classroom, all the accessories that allow functional performances.
That's kind of a follow-up question, because I recognize the high school is 55 years old, but, you know, as things go in the country, that's not really that old to be getting a total rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, I mean, is this being built any way into the future so that hopefully the resources that get devoted to it now will last, you know, more than 50 years?
I believe that it is. I mean, part of the reason, just so you know, we did do a very lengthy study, an in-depth study of whether we could successfully renovate and retrofit the existing high school. the existing high school when it was built, obviously our state of knowledge about earthquake safety was much less than it is now. And the way that the school is constructed, it would be extremely, the way that they did the shear walls basically in the building would make it extremely difficult to retrofit without costs that would be very near what it would cost to build new. And so the decision was made partly because the level of construction is actually not, I mean, if you go and look at it, it's fairly cheaply made, actually, the buildings. And so the question of whether to invest $75 or $80 or $90 million in upgrading that plant that doesn't work very well in many educational ways versus could we create a new campus with a really good new ideas and newer materials and better seismic design for not too much more money? That was the decision that the board made.
I think there's a gentleman back here who had a question.
Yeah, I'm really familiar with all of them. I'm the chair of the oversight committee.
Oh,
okay. But I got to tell you, on some of the other schools, on the athletic fields, we heard comments about what do we need to put in a high jump or a pole vault. Our kids don't do that. Well, that's because they don't have a facility together. They do it in Orinda and Lafayette. They do it out in Danville. So we're going to give the students the opportunity to put on plays, to join a water polo team, a diving team, to have state-of-the-art facilities. And this is what we're looking to do, state-of-the-art facilities.
Yeah, I think what the board would like us to do, I believe, is to try, as one part, besides the educational component, a big part of trying to attract people back to the district and back to our schools is creating great facilities. And if you go to Orinda, and if you go to Lafayette, and you go to those schools, those are great facilities. And that's what we want to have in our school district.
I think
that
was
one concern. With all these great facilities, you're going to have to probably pass one tax after another to pay for water polo, maintenance of swimming pools, maintenance of performing arts, kids of dance. I mean, I'm really concerned about a constant steady stream of tax, parcel taxes to maintain all this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of money. Whereas if you look at these facilities out in Danville and Orinda, you have very wealthy parents who can afford to put their money in, whereas me with no kids, it's going to be homeless and subsidizing a lot of this.
No, parcel tax seems to be. What the families here are paying for facilities, I think they'll also be supportive of programs for the kids that will then turn into ADA, which will turn into people not playing. You got to have good operations, and if you look at what we're paying here versus why people send their kids out there, it's no magic. They have the same low wealth as we do, but Orinda Elementary pays $375 permanent parcel. We pay $70 both for elementary and high school. Akwilanti pays $187. So if you take their two school districts, that's $525 per parcel. They do the same in Marotta. Lafayette Elementary is doing the same thing. The reality is, if you want to be able to get your community back in, they want to know that people are committed to doing this. That's why we're committed to DMs. That's why we're committed to Valley View. We're going to do our part, but we want the community to also understand they're actually going to spend less because they're going to have more being reinvested. And young people are going to be doing well because we have quality teaching, we have quality programs. And you have quality entertainment to do things to support your kids. We saw that at Pinal Valley High, which was finally Richmond High has to go all the way out. The dance field had a packed house for a soccer game. That's an all-out act that a facility they can support. That's revenue that goes back and helps the student activity funds, helps kids stay engaged, and helps you actually saving you money within 5 years instead of you having to pay for extra cops, having to pay for extra services the kids are vandalizing the neighborhood or roaming around not doing anything or not passing the exit exam. And so let's be thoughtful and be smart about it. You're already done. The people are now out on the construction capital of the state of California. They're modeling West Contra costs all throughout the state because we've invested more. And now we're seeing the fact that we're going to give $200 million from the state of California to help extend your program. That's both money coming from other people's community. If you pass your own local measures, you're now first in line when you did it on a special election. You know, Oakland's going off with $450 million. You got districts all around you that are 8 months behind us now, and you have a whole team of architects ready to go. You're going to get every eligibility dollar you're entitled to and more.
Thank you.
But,
yes. I also just wanted to make a comment that supporting quality education doesn't just benefit people that have children. It benefits the entire community and every person in that community.
Thank you. We only have like a couple of minutes left. So, Mr. Harvey, you had a question?
Yeah, it's sort of a silly question. I'm sure it's been covered, but how many students in faculty are the current faculty answer right now? And has there been a provision for an increase in both?
It's about 1,100, right?
Yeah, the student count is 1,100.
Pardon me?
1,100, approximately.
1,100 students.
Currently.
Yeah.
That's a current enrollment?
Yeah, and we're planning for 1,200 to 1,500.
Do you need more students?
No, no.
No, no.
Elizabeth, you had a question?
Just a quick question. What is the expected life of the facility? How long do you expect the new facility to be adequate for education?
Well, I mean, somewhere between 50 and 100 years. I mean, that's in today's world of construction and what types of buildings are built and the standards that we have, and given also the change in people's understanding about technology, you know, all of these things. Realistically, you look at building, you want them to last 100 years, but the reality is somewhere between 50 and 100 years is a useful life before major renovation.
We have one more question, or Terrence, or, yeah.
If you're permission, me to ask a question.
Sure.
Security question, is it a closed campus? Is this going to be a closed campus by chance, or an open campus?
You know, we have a district policy, and every campus is closed, and we believe the personnel that we're putting on site, working with your department, working with other city agencies, will ensure that kids who want it, the way that they've got it configured now, we believe we have the public and the private side enough, we'll have better control over the perimeters of the campus to ensure better intercom systems, better lighting. There's not going to be hidden spaces where kids are going to be able to hide out. So we believe that hopefully by the program we put in, the kids will want to stay on campus to do music and do art, to be able to be engaged and learn. And so we're excited about this opportunity. We want to thank all of you for giving us the opportunity. We're going to do our very best to be responsible with the dollars that you invest. So
thank you.
Just feels really good. But Bob has his hand up all the time.
Go ahead.
Is there additional parking near the football field and the athletic building?
No.
There needs to be parking closer to the
field. Yeah, well, I mean, during those times, there'll be capacity to probably park down here, but that's going to be an operational issue.
We have one more question from Terrence, and then we're going to have to cut it off because we have another presentation.
It was a security question as well. During non-school hours, how would you assure that any person from the public doesn't go into the school to vandalize it? Because there's so much public use of this.
We use a system of sensors and gates, basically, so that we try and create, like we do at a lot of our campuses, the set squad area, for example, would be gated off, whereas you could still have access to all of the facilities on the south and southeast side, basically, that kind of thing. So we try and set it up so that you can get the maximum use of the community and have people come, go to the field, and yet not have to go through the center of the campus, which would be gated off.
I want to thank you very much. That was an excellent presentation. I want to thank all of you.
One commitment that I'll make is that we will bring the landscape architect, the food service consultant, the theater consultant about 6 months, the pool consultant, because there's a lot of players that are involved in making this happen. And we want to make sure you get another opportunity. We're paying these guys big bucks so they can come out and come to our and make a presentation. So can I see a show of hands if you'd like to hear from the theater consultant, the food consultant, the landscape architect? We'll bring those individuals here
in about 6 months, and we'll have a community meeting, and we'll have a full discussion so that the landscaping, the pool, those issues can be fully vetted. We can make some final decisions.
Thank you. Charles, can we contact you then?
Yeah, I'm the fourth president.
Yeah.
Okay.
You better give me your
phone.
I'm
out. We have Patrick Rose from the department.
I know.
And Mr. Rose, would you be willing to introduce your staff members, please?
Yeah.